Dr. Stevenson and members of the Board of Trustees, President McCall, colleagues of the faculty, students, and friends of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Permit me, if you will, to respond more appropriately to the trust that you have extended in this inauguration today, in the paper itself, which constitutes in its close an affirmation of my own commitment to you as a community. In this interval, however, let me ask that you think with me about our common identity in theological education. Let us look in retrospect and in prospect. In retrospect, in 1849, Basil Manley, Jr. told the Southern Baptist Convention that at that time there were in all the Baptist schools of the South only 7 theological professors, 30 ministerial students, and not one really good library. Viewed in retrospect, what has developed in theological education since those beginning days? This fall at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary alone, 1,791 students have enrolled for the fall semester, 60 times the number of Basil Manley's day. During academic year 1974-75, 98 persons formed the instructional staff of Southern Seminary, 14 times the number of theology professors in all the Baptist schools of the South in the time of Basil Manley. 126 years ago, there was not one single really good library with a focus on theology, but today the library at Southern Seminary ranks among the top 10 libraries in the United States. As recently as 1974, the seminaries collectively reported to the Southern Baptist Convention 200 times the students of Basil Manley's day, 40 times the number of theological professors, and of the top 10 libraries in the United States measured by total volumes, 2 are in Southern Baptist seminaries. In 1973, the 6 seminaries reported an enrollment of 5,200, 6,000 in 1974, 7,000 in 1975. Seldom has a denomination progressed so broadly, accepted so widely, or supported so enthusiastically the emergence of what was only 125 years ago an experiment in faith. But let me say that if theological education is to be faithful to its divine imperative, if it is to be relevant for the churches, if it is to deserve the support of the denomination, there are at least 3 emphases which both the seminary and the churches should recognize and by which both should live. First, theological education was conceived in the nature and character of God and the community of faith. As I have thought in these days on this address, I have come again and again to affirm what has become by now for me a guiding presupposition, that theological education is grounded in the nature of who God is and what it means to be the people of God. Perhaps the implications of this presupposition can be clarified best through a series of polarities. The polarities of identity, who we are, the polarities of time and space, the polarities of purpose. The polarities of identity. Is the seminary a school or is it a church? The seminary worships together, serves together, and hopefully on occasion prays together. The seminary community is a worshiping, learning community of faith, but it remains a school. But at the opposite pole, the seminary is far more than just a school. When we search for our identity, seeking to perceive whether we are school or church, we inevitably discover our identity in God and the community of faith. This is our identity, called into being as a community by one who has met us in Jesus Christ, interfaced century after century with the community of faith, the church. We discover who we are in the face of God reflected in the community of faith. The polarities of time and space. Is the seminary the creation of an ecclesiastical body, or does its nature transcend the relationships of time and space? Obviously, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary is the creation of an initiating group designed to fulfill the basic need for training persons in Christian ministry. We are joyful heirs today to that tradition, but the seminary is more than just a time-bound organization. The ground of the seminary's existence and the reason for its being rest on foundations deeper and broader than the context of a single generation or a stated purpose. Southern Seminary is far more than simply an effective means for training persons in ministry. Southern Seminary is far more than just a good idea conceived at an opportune time in the sociological development of this nation. Our institutional history is determined by the date on the charter, but the nature of our existence transcends that date. For the seminary is caught up in a reality that transcends dates on calendars. We are linked from faith to faith with a heritage as ancient in time as the Ohio Valley is distant from the Mesopotamian Valley. And the polarities of purpose. Is a seminary a training center for ministry or an intellectual research center? The seminary is a professional school committed to the equipping of persons for varied forms of Christian ministry, both within the churches and the institutions of the convention. This we are by charter, and this we are by accreditation guideline. But the seminary is no less a research center, characterized by a determined commitment to academic excellence. The seminary is not a sophisticated trade school, nor is it an elitist intellectual community, basking in an esoteric appreciation of accumulated intellectual achievements. If we would understand the full dimensions of our purpose, we will do so by reflecting on the nature and character of God and the community of faith. We will find in the action of God and the interaction of the community of faith in response to God's acts a viable pattern for determining the nature of our purpose. The seminary finds the definition of its purpose bound up in who God is and in the answer to the question of what it means to be the people of God in every new generation. In summary, to believe that the seminary was conceived in the nature of God and the community of faith is to achieve the identity of a new perspective. It is to believe that we are an extension of the prophets and the apostles and the reformers, identified with the whole of the community of faith in a way that transcends the limitations of time and of space and of culture. To be at one with God and the community of faith brings to both the individual and the institution a perspective that delivers us from the pettiness of provincialism, from the bitterness of factionalism, the fractures of difference. And this may be so not because of the absence of disagreement, for disagreements and differences of opinion are common attendants to seminary education. We do not seek a bland sameness, an erratic kind of koinonia devoid of discussion. But being at one with God and the larger community of faith makes possible the absorption of our differences into a larger reality that transcends our own being, a reality with the power to transform the nature of differences. In summary, to dare to believe that the seminary is conceived in the nature of who God is and what it means to be the people of God is to discover a reality that gives meaning to life and purpose to history. Not only were we conceived in the nature of who God is and what it means to be the larger people of God. In the second place, theological education was born in the needs of the churches. We have spoken of the seminary as a reality that transcends time and space through its identity with God and the community of faith. But of equal importance is the polarity to that assumption. The seminary is bound to a historical manifestation of the community of faith at a particular confluence of time and circumstance. Specifically, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary was the creation of particular persons who institutionalized its structure in a charter now on file in Frankfort. It's difficult to conceive of being more time-bound than that. And yet the time-bound historical manifestation of the seminary is not to be disparaged. Truth must always be incarnate if it is to be appropriated. The New Testament emphasis on incarnation affirms and illustrates this, insisting that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Ours is no time for a docetic conception of theological education which denies the humanity of our common task. As with John's conception of the incarnate Word, so with the seminary, both must become flesh. Internally, the seminary should embody what we might well designate incarnational teaching. We are not only to study the truth and teach the truth, we are to be the truth. And externally, theological education must also be incarnate, becoming flesh and dwelling among the people, hopefully full of grace and truth, hopefully bearing the touch of God's glory in its presence. The needs of the churches then reflect the necessity for the seminary. From the beginning of the Southern Baptist Convention in its inception, the creation of a central theological school was a topic of discussion at each successive annual session in the 1840s and 50s. But the convention was never able to agree upon the institution of such a seminary. And so, as you are well aware, there began to meet each year at the time of the Southern Baptist Convention a group of friends of theological education. And it was out of that group that Southern Baptist Theological Seminary found the impetus of its creation. From the beginning, the necessity for the seminary rested in the needs of the churches. As President McCall observed on one occasion, the seminary grew up alongside the convention rather than inside it. Its roots are in Baptist individualism rather than Baptist organization. It rose not on the shoulders of the denomination, but on the personal sacrifices of many individual donors. By program statement, the Southern Baptist Convention looks to the seminary to provide leadership training for congregations, for institutions of the convention. It looks to the seminaries to engage in creative research so as to provide intellectual leadership for the convention. It looks to the seminaries to provide dialogical communication with varied facets of our culture. Our history, therefore, reflects a heritage which grows out of relationship to the churches and the denomination. And while this institution has had a far-reaching contribution beyond the bounds of the convention, and those geographical areas traditionally associated with the convention, this is not the primary focus of our heritage. Let us maintain this aspect of our heritage to be sure. Let us continue to be a national and an international seminary as over against a regional seminary. But within this context, let us affirm our unique heritage as an institution bound in commitment and purposes to the churches of the convention. In the final analysis, the seminary was created by and is presently sustained for the life of the churches. The seminary is not ours alone to direct in isolation from our heritage. We who now serve on faculties and staffs and boards of trustees, as well as those supportive friends of theological education, so like the originating body and so necessary to the well-being of the institution, we are all together like those persons of whom the Deuteronomist wrote, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land with great and goodly cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and cisterns hewn out which you did not hew, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take heed, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Because this seminary today is so much like a city that we did not build, like a house filled with good things that we did not fill, like cisterns that we did not dig, and vineyards and orchards that we did not plant, we honor our heritage by the faithful commitment of ourselves to the purposes for which the seminary exists. The seminary is not ours alone to direct in isolation from our heritage. No seminary, including our own, can long prosper if the taproot which unites it to the concern of the churches is severed. But hear me yet further to say in the third place and finally, not only was theological education conceived in the nature of God and the community of faith, not only was it born in the needs of the churches, theological education must be reborn in every generation. There will never come a time when we can write finished to the story of theological education or to the life of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Each must be born again in each generation. During the wandering in the wilderness, God gave Israel manna to eat. But this could not be gathered and stored. It had to be collected fresh each day. When people did try to store it, it rotted and became unpalatable. The same is true of this institution. We cannot live on yesterday's manna. We cannot feed the needs of our existence with the commitment of another generation. The seminary cannot thrive on the collected glory of its heritage, no matter how auspicious it may have been. It is not enough that Manley, Boyce, Broadus, and Williams poured their lives into this institution. Each new generation must make its own commitment, pledge its own support, fulfill its own unique responsibilities. But to speak of commitment is all but an impossibility. To speak, for example, of individual commitment, of the commitment that you bear as an individual, is a factor with which I find it all but impossible to bring to resolution. No matter how I struggled, I could not write out a commitment of affirmation. Day after day, the pages remained blank, and the wastebasket overflowed with discarded pages. And then suddenly, earlier this week, it dawned on me why I could not write a commitment of affirmation for you as individuals. The reason is simple. I cannot make your commitment for you. I respect your personhood in such ways that it would be arrogant and presumptive for me to articulate your commitment. But I can ask for your commitment. A commitment not to me, not to the faculty at large, not to the administrative structures of the seminary, but to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. A former colleague of mine would often remonstrate with me for speaking in this fashion. He insisted we can make commitment only to God. To a degree, he was correct, to be sure. But I have no hesitation in committing my life today to this institution. Of this, I am sure. No institution can thrive without a significant number of its body committed in total energy to the life of the institution. And so I leave the blank page for you to make, as many of you have made periodically, your own commitment to this institution. But what in the second place of our corporate commitment? The respect for your personhood, which precluded my making your personal commitment to the seminary, does not extend to the collective commitment which I assume we share together. Since I am now involved in this community, perhaps it is not inappropriate to state some basic parameters. I leave to your judgment, of course, whether you are able to affirm with me each of them. But as I enter upon the deanship, I do so with the presupposition of commitment to these principles, to the identity of the seminary as a reality defined by the nature of God and the community of faith, thus freeing us from a myopic vision, unable to see either the full breadth of our identity or the parameters of our larger purpose, to the heritage of ministry to the local congregation as an integral element for our purpose, together with a reaffirmation of denominational relationship, to academic excellence with high standards of achievement, believing that the nature of ministry deserves the commitment of our finest capacities, believing that the seminary should not become the haven for the indolent, the careless, the slovenly, believing that the nature of our identity demands standards of achievement consonant with those who would identify themselves in terms of who God is and what it means to be the people of God. To the maintenance of a curricular substructure which focuses on the essential heritage of the church, reflected in biblical, historical, theological, and ministry equipping components. To the reservation of a segment of the curriculum which is open to periodic negotiation in light of alternating societal factors, germane to the realization of our goal of being the church in the last quarter of this century. To a continued effort toward the integration of the total seminary experience, focusing on the development of the total person in areas of academic excellence, professional competence, personal growth, and spiritual development. To continue the dynamic maturation of a model Christian community where cherished qualities are realized, simple qualities of understanding, of love, of kindness, of mutuality, of honesty, and of personal integrity. I could not make your commitment for you. I must leave that to you. I sketched a corporate commitment with the awareness that fundamentally I cannot even make a corporate commitment for the body. And so I ask that you allow me in closing to make what only I can make, my own commitment. I make this in closing not because you need to hear it, but because I need to formalize it on an occasion such as this. With all that commitment connotes within the Christian commitment, within the Christian community, I commit myself this day to this institution, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. I do this without reservation. I do this with the same qualities of response which I made to God in Jesus Christ throughout all of my Christian pilgrimage. I do this in the sure conviction that I have found in the deanship which you have entrusted to me the unfolding reality of God's purpose. Second, I also commit myself today to you as individuals. To the degree that you are able to respond to me, I share myself with you in these ways. To the students, I pledge the accessibility of my office, the availability of counsel, the assurance of quality education, the affirmation of you as persons in our common pilgrimage. To the faculty, I pledge the mutuality of concern and the identity of purpose which we share as colleagues. The invitation to common participation in creating that quality of community which we cherish individually but must achieve corporately. The interchange of personal qualities of honesty, openness, and equity between dean and faculty as between faculty and dean. To the president, I pledge the loyalty of a staff member, the support of an alumnus, the identity of a friend. To him I pledge qualities of openness and honesty in relationships, affirmation and question as judgment may dictate, believing that he would prefer the honesty of candor to the subterfuge of assent. To the trustees and to all who believe in and support the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, today I return to you a dividend on the investment that you made in me as a beginning theological student 26 years ago. As dividend on your investment, I return to you the best that I have to offer, based upon 24 years as student, instructor, professor, and dean in two theological seminaries. Whether my best will prove adequate to the deanship and the needs of this quarter of the century, only God knows, and only time will reveal. But it is my best that I return to you, and I do so in the quiet assurance that I can pledge no more. To all of you, in return for this commitment, I shall receive far more from you than I shall ask of you. For I ask of you today only that you correct me when I am wrong, that you support me when I am right, and that right or wrong, you grant to me the understanding that you would seek for yourself.